This Industrial Talk podcast was recorded on location at Nottingham Spurrick and EY, or Ernst & Young, or just EY. Both companies dedicated to your success, focused on the future, and solving big problems. Contact Nottingham Spurrick and EY if you have a desire for a brighter future.
Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's...
All right, welcome to Industrial Talk, the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe, and I'm not overselling that. It celebrates you, the industrial hero, the people that get it done. You are bold, you are brave, you dare greatly, you innovate, you solve problems, you're changing lives, and you're changing the world each and every day, and that's what this platform is for you. For you, we celebrate you. All right, we're broadcasting. If you've heard the last one, we're broadcasting from Nottingham Spurrick. You're saying to yourself, Scott, I don't know what that is. You will, because I'm talking to the gentleman right here, right next to me. His name is John Nottingham, and he is one of Nottingham Spurrick. He's not the Nottingham Spurrick. Let's get cracking. Hey, this is fantastic.
You like it?
I'm telling you, listener, listeners, you need to put this on your bucket list, big time. Can people just come in and see this place?
Well, I don't know.
Well, do I know somebody that can make that happen?
I probably can.
So contact me and I'll be able to open doors, because this is a spectacular, and I mean spectacular, location. For the listeners, let's just level set real quick here, John. Just give us a little, I mean, clearly it's a bigger conversation, but just give us a little background on who you are.
Well, my partner, John Spurrick, and I graduated from design school, and we both got Fortune 500 job offers. Our parents were so proud, and we turned it down.
Then your parents are saying, what?
We found a garage. And we started an innovation company, and our parents said, what are you doing? What is that? We did it. And I never looked back.
See, so the question is, well, why? I mean, that's not conventional thinking, John.
It is not.
It's not. And I guarantee you, your parents are saying, what? What?
Yes.
You just graduated. And that's a heck of a school.
Right? Yeah. But we wanted to do something different. You know, we wanted to do something big, and we had to start small.
Right. And by the way, if you're listening, that's a helicopter flying over top of us. Disregard, John's more important than that helicopter, so let's listen to John.
There you go.
But why? What was that inside of you that said, hey, I want to do something? Because you come here today.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen the whole journey. You come here today. It's impressive. Nothing less, nothing short of impressive. Why at that particular time did you guys say, I'm going to go a different direction?
Well, we've always created. We were always building things, always designing things, always innovating things. And graduating, we just kept going. We just kept finding companies that wanted to go on our journey and create something and grow.
See, this is interesting. I had a conversation with a gentleman, and what stuck out, and you guys live it here.
Yeah.
This is what's interesting. You think of the end user. You think of that person over here.
Yes.
That you're going to be designing something here, and you're going to say, hey, I want to solve a problem. I want to deliver something. I want them to get a user experience, whatever that is. Was that a typical thinking at the time?
Yeah. I don't care what business you're in, you have a customer, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Let's put it this way. Yes, or it's a hobby.
So the Fortune 500 number one CEO came to visit us, and Doug McMillon, CEO of Walmart, and he's going around our innovation center. We'll describe our innovation center a little bit.
Yeah.
Later.
Oh, absolutely.
And I said, Doug, you're the number one CEO in the world, the largest company in the world. He says, you know, John, if I don't deliver to my customer what she wants, I'm done. I need innovation. I need something to make her say, wow. Okay?
Yeah.
John, that's your job. I said, here I am.
See, this is interesting. Now, I can rattle off all of the challenges of the pandemic. Yes, and they're out there. Got it, understand. One of the things that I believe is a positive is the need for businesses to collaborate, to solve problems, to figure out solutions. And one of the things that popped out is the power of that customer. All of a sudden, I can't get my products, and everybody's a supply chain expert. And it's an interesting realization of how important that customer is. And if you're not pinpoint focused on their needs, you're missing the mark.
Part of our secret sauce, and it's so simple, and it's amazing how many people don't do it. Okay.
It still blows me away.
With my client partners, I say, I want to know your customer. I want your customer inside our innovation center, inside our focus room, behind our two-way mirror. I want you to see the twinkle in their eye. I want to see the body language. They may not even say something, but I want you to see your customer. What are you putting your customers? Now, all of a sudden, now you have a pandemic. Hey, your customer is freaked out. What are you going to do about it? Here's opportunity. See, every problem that I see is an innovation, invention in disguise. Now,
yeah,
you'll see, we have 1,350 issued patents that we have created, co-created with our client partners. 1,350. All right.
That's spectacular. I don't have one.
Well, there you go. So, you know what? To get a patent, it's so simple. It's so simple.
No. You're soft pedaling it because. Okay, go ahead. Try to change my mind on this.
I'm going to give you this thing. There's only one criteria for a patent. Patent claim. It has to be, ready for this?
Okay.
Unobvious. That's it. I'm serious. It does. It's not a good idea.
Obvious.
It's not a great solution. If it's obvious, it doesn't get a patent. It only gets a patent if it's not obvious. That's it.
Okay. So I'm wandering the halls here, right?
Yeah.
And you've got example after victory of
yes.
just displays.
Yes.
All exciting. It's like yes. I'm dazzled, right?
Thank you.
There is one in there, and when you have that definition, it's the baby cradle one, right?
Yes.
Come on. That's obvious.
No, it isn't. Now I'll tell you what. Hold on. You want to know what the patent is?
Yes, please.
Okay. It's easy to do a bassinet, right?
It okay. is. It's right there.
Okay. Our client wanted to stick out, so we had to do something unobvious. So, okay. What do? I have my customer come in. A mother. She's going to have a baby. What are some of the issues that are happening? So we look at the trends, and there's one trend. That mothers are co-sleeping with their babies in their bed. That's not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
But I'm not going to argue with that. That's my customer talking. So what did I do? I did a bassinet that is swiveled onto the... Hold on a second.
It's brilliant.
Onto the mother's bed, and the side has a spring, and the mother can cradle and co-sleep with her baby in her bed, and the baby is comforted and safe. Now, listen to this. So we got a patent on it.
Right.
Unobvious, right?
I guess. It's amazing.
I go to Las Vegas to the Juvenile Furniture Show.
Right.
At the end of the show, they have an award for number one innovation at show. Guess which one did it?
Bingo.
Okay. If you or your significant other is going to a baby shower and wants a big deal baby gift, it's the bassinet, unobvious. This thing is the number one bassinet in the country because it's unobvious.
See... So I'm walking by and I see it, and then I realize it's like, no, are you kidding me? This is amazing.
Yeah.
And it is.
Yeah.
So Okay, so as we venture in, so okay. Here's the deal.
All right.
So I come to you. I'm a business. I'm going, okay, I need your help.
Yeah.
You're going to go and you're going to look at my customer, whatever. It's like, what do they need? And you're going to have a conversation. It's real. It's like, what are you looking for? What's going on? What's your pain? Whatever.
I say, you know what I say? Be careful what you wish for because it will come true.
And that's interesting because it's real out there, right? What I am fascinated by it is that you'll say, okay, got this idea. We go through the prototype. You're starting to design it.
Right.
Very cool.
Right.
But you also throw in, is it going to be marketable? Is there a business case around that?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you're going to say, okay, yes, yes. And then you're going to say, now we have to modify or we have to manufacture this product.
Yes.
And you're involved there.
Yes.
And that's why you have such great success because it's cradle, shall I say.
To grave.
And it is because you take into consideration, and this is where I find, you can tell I'm geeking out, everybody. This is just too cool.
Right.
Where it starts to fail is like, here it is.
No.
Good luck with that.
Now, let me tell you, Scott.
That's cool.
Let me tell you the secret sauce. Don't tell anybody.
The other secret sauce.
Don't tell anybody. Okay. Remember that 1,350 patents I said?
Yes.
All right. Now, the U.S. government has given up 10 million patents. What percentage of those 10 million do you think have been commercialized? What percentage?
I unfortunately know the answer because I'm very inquisitive.
Yes.
5%, baby.
Yes, 5%.
Just 5%.
And that is, everybody knows that number. All right? Everybody knows
it's it. Like, that's common knowledge.
I got a patent award. I was National Academy of Inventors. I got an award from the Commissioner of U.S. Patents, and he's putting the medal around my neck. And I reminded him. I said, you know that only 5%. He's like, yeah. I said, we have 1,350 patents. 95% have been commercialized. 95%.
And the remaining 5% are still in the process of getting commercialized.
Yet. Okay. So here's the thing. Why is that? Why is the track record of other patents so abysmal? Because they're invented in silos.
Yes.
You know, you have an insights group, and that they throw it over the wall, and it goes to a design group. They throw it over the wall, it goes to the engineer. They throw it over the wall to the prototype. They keep throwing it over the wall, okay? And by the time it doesn't bear any resemblance to where you started. You see what I'm saying? This is what we do in our innovation center here. And you're looking at it. It's a historic build. You like this?
It is, man. That's a whole other conversation because I just look at it and it's like all I can think of is how did they get the material in here? How did they built it? And then when you walk in, the rotunda, whatever
the rotunda.
You want to call it.
You know, the rotunda of our innovation center is bigger than the U.S. Capitol rotunda. It is.
It is, but it's spectacular.
Oh, it's spectacular.
That's the first thing I noticed. It's like, whoa.
Whoa.
What the heck? It's taking my breath away.
Yeah,
man.
No, it's pretty
It's impressive.
Cool. Very cool. So, where would I end up?
The secret sauce.
Secret sauce. Okay.
Throwing it over the wall,
so
and then it doesn't look like
different?
It.
Why are we different? We start with a client partner. They have, give me your biggest problem. Give me your biggest opportunity. You think it's impossible, unobvious, okay?
Right.
And we put a team together at the very beginning. We have a project manager.
Okay.
The project manager has leads for insights, design, engineering, prototyping, digitization, commercialization, and they're all there at the front end, all of them. And they very carefully go through a 12-month process to commercialization, and 95% get there. That's the difference.
How do you, and because I interview many within industry, my background's industry, and I've been experienced in that conference room where somebody comes up with an idea. Okay, it might be a little off the mark, but there might be some nuggets of truth, right?
Yeah.
But in industry, it gets shot down.
That's the problem.
That's the
silo.
That's exactly correct.
Yeah. So
how do you create that culture?
Okay, so what we do.
You don't shoot people down.
What we do is we start with the customer. We start with, all right, all right.
Okay.
You start with a customer. So you bring a customer in, okay, and you start to talk to them. You know, what about this product? What about that product? What do you love? What do you hate? What do you this? And you start getting this input, okay, and you get their pain points, and you start, all of a sudden, you open the customer's mind, and you start picking their brain. What do they do? What do they want? So forth. That's number one. Then you take all of that great data and you go into your designers. And now your designers have what we call a creative session. And the creative session is we focus in a room. We have about 8 to 12 people. And we focus on what we call mild to wild. Mild is, you know, the obvious thing. You know, just get that out of your head, okay?
Yeah.
Now, you got that out of your head. What's the wildest thing you can think? I don't care if it can't be done. I don't care if the technology doesn't. I don't care if it's levitating. I don't care what. What is the wildest thing? Now, get that out of your head. Now, everything in between. Now you have 100 ideas. 100 ideas. I call that the diverging concept. You diverge and you just, there's no bad ideas, by the way. Nobody can shoot anything down, okay?
Good.
And you do that. So now the walls are literally filled with post-its. Filled. And you're exhausted and you go home. Okay, you go home. The next session is the converging session. You take those 100 ideas. Now you separate them in groups. You get your best ones and everybody takes turns saying, I like this one. Make a presentation. But here's the secret thing, and I'm going to give it. Don't tell anybody.
Okay, don't listen, guys.
Everybody has three. And everybody can do this, by the way. Three note cards. Everybody gets three note cards. One note card says nice. One note card says who cares. And one note card says wow. Okay, now
it's cool.
Now put it down.
Yeah.
Make your passionate presentation on this idea. Now, everybody at the same time, put up your note cards, okay? Now, he's made a passionate, or he or she made a passionate thing. Everybody says, who cares? I don't care. Get rid of it. It's never gonna fly, okay? The next guy comes up, next person comes up, makes their passionate thing. Nice, yeah, nice, yeah, yeah, nice. You know, that's the hardest one.
Yeah.
Because everybody's got nice product. Too many nice product gets produced. Nice. They're nice. And they come out and they have nice sales. We don't want nice sales. But when you have this thing, and every once in a while you do, everybody says, wow. And wow, you know, when you walked in our rotunda, what did you say?
Oh,
said wow.
Okay. I did, man. Right
wow
off the bat.
Is not planned. Wow is an emotional response. Boom, wow. Okay? When I have this idea, and I put it in front of the group and I say, okay, put your note cards up. And everybody says, wow, I got a winner. I got it. Okay. Then the hard work starts.
Yeah.
Then you design it. You make a prototype of it. You always come back to the customer. Okay. You keep on going. I had a thing. Scott, I had a thing. It was a new iron, steam iron. And it was a prototype, but it looked just like the real thing. And I had a woman in there and said, I want to buy this thing. And we said, well, you know, it's a prototype. There's only one. I mean, she did. She put her arms around it, says, I'm not leaving. I want to buy this thing. I knew I had a winner.
So this is interesting.
Yeah.
So there's a tremendous amount of energy.
Oh, by the way, it became the number one selling iron in the United States. But
and it is what?
Yeah.
Okay. What is it? What's the number one? I don't know.
Well, there you go. I got a million of these stories.
See, here's the deal.
I got a million of them.
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
What makes this location, this innovation center, this juggernaut in solutions, is the fact that when you walk around to your team, you can go from concept all the way to, you're creating the
vertically integrated.
Right there.
Yes. Everything's there.
Everything's there.
Yeah.
And you're saying, I'm looping in the customer at the same time. Saying,
all the way through.
Here we are.
Every stage the customer comes back.
And you know.
We know. By the time we're out in the market,
boom,
we
know. You know.
But then, we never go on a national launch. We go on a soft launch. One soft launch with one retailer, one region of the country, because we want to know, even if we think it's a winner, is the price right? Is it positioned right? Is it packaged right? Is it gonna perform the way we want to? And then we see that. And if there's an issue, we'll tweak it, no problem. But when we get it right, then scaling is no problem. No problem.
See, that is just so exciting.
Let me tell you this story.
Amazing.
Of the Sherwin-Williams Twist and Pour paint container. You see that in the tour?
Okay, so I've seen it, yes.
Okay.
Talk to us about that. Because it's unobvious, but everybody knew. It's like, talk to us.
Not only is it unobvious, I've got 23 patents on it, but who's counting?
Okay. Who's counting?
Who's counting? Okay, so paint has been in metal cans forever, okay? You need a screwdriver to open it. You need a hammer to close it. You know, the contractor, he doesn't care. But the do-it-yourselfer does.
Oh, big time.
So we bring the do-it-yourselfer in. She says, I got to get a butter knife to open this. I mean, I don't want, what if I
had. I'm sorry, that reminds me.
Right?
I'm used to
it. Yes.
Yes, I was there, butter knife.
So we're getting the, so they got to open the thing with a thing. It always pours down the stack. You got to have a hammer to close it. It's messy. You know what? Maybe there's a better package. So we did. We partnered with Sherwin-Williams. We created a product called the Twist and Pour paint container. You don't need it. You just twist it open. You pour it. It doesn't drip. You push it back, and it's a square can, and it's wonderful. Now, we knew the customer liked it. Loved it.
Does it get stuck?
No.
See, when I saw it out there on the floor, or wherever it was within the journey around this place, when I saw it, I just said, how many times have I taken a can, used a butter knife, opened it up, had to shake it or do whatever, and then close it back up with a hammer and it splatters everywhere? It was just, but it never changed.
Is that good customer engagement? I don't think so.
No, not one bit. No. This is it, right
created
here, whether
right
you
here.
Like it.
Created right here.
See?
So that.
It's dazzling, right?
It's dazzling.
It is. It is. I can eat this stuff all day long, man. This
did
is
you
amazing.
See the blood test we did?
It's that little machine.
The clot chip. And it's
that's
the,
it?
Yes. And it is going to change blood testing in the world. Not the world.
Why?
All right, so let me tell you. It has a little thing called the clot chip. You prick your finger, you take a blood test, you put it in our little handheld machine, right? And instantaneously, you can tell, for instance, if your blood is too thin or too thick, if you've taken a blood thinner, okay? With no antigens, it uses physics instead of chemistry, all right? You don't have to get antigens from China. You can do it right here. It's all digital, and it's instantaneous, and it's never been done, and it's unobvious.
See, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And so you just eliminated the necessity, the supply chain. It says it's digital.
It's right there.
It's right there. It doesn't have to happen.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man. It's spectacular.
It's been. Did you see our e-bike?
Yes.
Now, here's the e-bike. So the e-bike is going to be manufactured in Northeast Ohio. And because it's an e-bike, it's got software that has three modes. One is e-bike. You know, 25 miles an hour, no license, moped, a little more powerful, and full-on badass motorcycle. 85 miles an hour,
good.
Right?
Yes.
And the same thing.
Yeah.
It's being manufactured right here. And it's got a plug-in battery. You can take it out. You can run your laptop on it in the woods or whatever. I mean, it changes the game, and it's going to be manufactured right here.
So we can definitely talk forever.
Oh, yeah.
For me.
Oh,
you don't have the time.
Don't get me started.
I can just sit here and have a grand
old
time.
We're at the Disneyland of innovation.
Big time. And it is true. You're not underselling one bit.
Oh, no.
Not one bit. Now, one of the questions I do have, because you've been around for many years, I think you're coming up on what anniversary?
50.
Big 50.
And we're starting our second 50-year plan.
And you should.
Yeah.
You'll be around. Trust me. There's a legacy here.
Oh, we're working on that one.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine. But the thing that I'm interested in is how did this whole, it's like one day people were talking about this digital transformation. It's great. It's good around a coffee table, but now it's real.
Real.
How has that really impacted the way you look at products?
Everything is digital today. Everything. And I've, you know, when you go into our prototype facility, would you like that prototype facility? Isn't that great?
I like every part of this building.
Here's the thing. We ourselves was factory 3.0 here. We've got all of these, you know, these CNC machines and digital 3D printings, all that stuff. But we are even taking the ones that are like 30 years old and we're digitizing them. You don't have to have a brand new, you don't have to redo your factory.
That's it.
No, yes. And so you can get predictive maintenance, you can connect, you can do a digital twin of your old factory and bring it up to factory 4.0, and it ain't that hard.
See, where do you see it? Okay, put your future hat on. Okay, you've been looking at this.
Are you kidding me, Scott? I always have my future hat on. He was
taking a group around his organization here, and you can tell that there's still immense passion. Yeah. You're never tired about this stuff.
No.
And rightly so.
I was born to do this.
You were born to do this. Yeah. So where do you think it's going? Where's this?
Oh, my God. The sky is the limit. We just have the launch pad here. All right, we have the launch pad. We're building the rockets, and I don't know how high these rockets are going to go, but the sky's the limit. I'm telling you.
God, what if a company wants to get a hold of you? What do?
You pick up the phone.
You find yourself on the World Wide Web. You know that internet thing.
Yeah, you can push a button real easy.
I'm telling you, it's an honor. This is exciting. This is the manifestation of me as a kid going to Disneyland and the Carousel of Progress. I have to share this with you real quick. So I was here last night doing a walkthrough, getting all giddy, getting all just so jazzed about the whole thing. I go back and my wife and my son are with me, and I just said, you can't believe it. And I'm hyperventilating as I explain this particular location. And then I yanked my son. I said, you're coming down here just because I want to see the dome. You got to see the dome. And then we walked around, and you guys have been absolutely gracious. And it's very cool.
Thank you.
Excellent. All right, listeners. You can reach them out of the World Wide Web. That is, it's under...
Nottingham Spur.
Oh, there you go. .com, right?
Yep.
You got that URL.
I did it.
All right. We're going to wrap it up on this side. So stay tuned. Do not go away. You will not be disappointed.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
Come on. You've got to love that conversation. That is Mr. John Nottingham. He is a trailblazer. You cannot, and I mean you cannot deny, the impact that Nottingham Spur, EY, is having in manufacturing, industry as a whole. They are solving problems. It is a big deal. NottinghamSpur.com. Go out there. And I'm just telling you, you got to put that on your bucket list for an opportunity to sort of see that location. You will be dazzled by it. All right. Remember, we've got to educate, we've got to collaborate, and we've got to innovate. Nottingham Spur, Mr. John Nottingham and Team Nottingham Spur. Classic example. Do not let another day go by without your commitment to that need to educate, that need to collaborate, and that need to innovate. All right. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly. We're going to have another great conversation right around the corner, so stay tuned.